Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, welcome as we are jumping back into our series entitled, I Am Not Enough. And how many of you guys are thankful that the Buckeyes were enough yesterday, right? It was a close game. I think I'm actually still tired from watching that game. Like, it was one of those exhausting ones we were going into, but it was awesome. Hey, before we jump in, though, I do want to just share a couple things that are going on right now at Life Change. So one of the big things is tonight. You've been hearing about this, but tonight is the Fall Connect Hangout. Just an awesome opportunity to come together as a church and just connect with others. And again, this is for both services, so you'll probably see some faces you haven't seen for a while since we've gone to two services. Just a great time to connect with others. And if you're new here and you're thinking like, man, I wonder if I can fit into this place. I wonder if these people are cool. I wonder if these people are real. Listen, come tonight. You'll find out that we are real. I would say most of us are cool. Probably not me, but most of us are cool, right? So come tonight, that's at 5 p.m., and we're actually, usually student life goes on at 5 p.m., but they're actually just going to join us, so it'll be just a giant hangout, so it'll be a great way to connect with student life as well, and I'm excited for you to do that, because in just about a month, you're going to see the student life takeover. So on November 26th, student life is actually going to take over the services in the morning, so that's just the intro plug for that. There'll be more information coming, but be ready, it's going to be a blast. Another way, too, if you are new, and something that's coming up is our partnership class, and that's actually next week. So that's next week, November 5th at 6 p.m. There is childcare provided for that. So if you're always wondering, if you've been here for a while, and you're wondering, like, man, how can I jump in more? How can I be a part more? Or if you're just here thinking, like, man, I don't even really know quite that much about the church. Like, I don't know about what they believe. I don't know the structure. I even want to know some of the church finances and how things are allocated. Listen, partnership is for you. We go over all that information so you can come and can just be an informative meeting. And if you like everything and you want to jump in, then you can sign a partnership. We call it our partnership covenant. So you can sign in and be a part of this because we're all in this together. We don't do church membership. We do church partnership because we're all the church together and we build the church together. So that's coming up next week. And then if you have your bulletin, this is the final announcement, but this is, you can pull your bulletin out right now and you can make a simple correction because we did make an error on the bulletin. So in the bulletin, it says there's a partnership meeting and it says it's mandatory for those that are actually partners who have signed the covenant. So it is, but the date is actually wrong. The date is going to be December 10th now. And if you're thinking like, why is there this mandatory meeting? This sounds like it's going to be boring. Listen, it'll be a good meeting, right? Because it's actually helping us to get to where some of our vision is going. I know earlier this year I shared a little bit about our vision, how, hey, we want to be more than just a church at this one location, but eventually we want to be a church that launches out other locations and other sites. So right now we are called what's a parent-affiliated church with a church in Pickerington called C3. And right now anything that we do, basically they're kind of liable for. So it's kind of puts them on hook, and they want to launch other churches as well. So we want to launch churches too. So what we can do is this next partnership meeting is, or the mandatory meeting is really going to be a way and a step to help us to move from out from underneath them. So we'll be our own church, adopting our own bylaws that'll allow them to plant more churches. And then in the future, that'll allow us to plant churches and site locations as well. So those that have signed the covenant, that meeting is mandatory. We will come there. That's going to be December 10th. And those that haven't and you want to be a part of this, well, this is where you can go back to November 5th for the partnership class. So those are just some announcements, but we're going to jump in right now and go back into our series here entitled, I Am Not Enough. And this is week two of a five-week series. And through this series, what we're doing, if you remember from last week, we're jumping in and we're looking at some of the struggles that really we have with ourselves, right? Those struggles that we all wrestle with, those struggles that we have that kind of leave us feeling down and out. Those struggles that we try to hide, those struggles that we try to cover up, but yet they still kind of bring up to the surface and we still have to deal with them in some ways, right? There are these struggles, these feelings of I'm not enough that really keep us from achieving what God wants us to achieve. These struggles that kind of leave us feeling like God can't use us, right? We all have these struggles. We all have this feeling of not enough and really kind of hits us in our life. It hits us emotionally. It hits us physically. It hits us socially. It hits us mentally, financially, and even spiritually as well. I mean, the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, we all struggle with these reasons why we think we can't experience a breakthrough in our life. We all struggle with these reasons why we think God can't use us. oftentimes what we're doing is we're placing these struggles in the blanks in our life. We're filling in the blanks in our life with the reason of why we're not enough. Again, in fact, when you saw this this graphic here, you're probably filling in the blank when you see that graphic, right? In your mind, you're thinking, I am not, and you're filling in the blank enough. When you saw that video, there's something going through your head like, man, that's that struggle with. That's what I can't overcome. That's why God can't use me. We all have these blanks. We all have these reasons. We all have these struggles. But during this series, what I want to do is I want to shatter that way of thinking. I want us to shatter that way of thinking and help us realize that no matter what our shortcomings are, no matter what we think our shortcomings are, no matter what we believe about ourselves, that God can still use us. That we're still exactly the same person that God created us to be and wants to use us. Again, if you remember from last week, we learned the foundational truth for this series, looking at the fact that many times we don't feel smart enough, but we learned that Jesus picks the unexpected and the not good enough. Jesus picks us. In fact, he uses our inefficiencies. He uses our weaknesses, right? Regardless of what they are, he still uses them. Regardless of what we think they are, he still uses us. He's picking us. Again, he died on a cross. He lived a perfect life, died on a cross for us. Then he was raised again to give us new life because he says, I pick you. Jesus is more than enough. And many times I feel like we fill in that blank, we're not enough, but Jesus is always more than enough. So today we're going to jump in and we're going to look at this feeling of not being attractive enough. Now, much like the feeling of not being smart enough, we've probably felt this feeling of not being attractive enough before, right? I mean, we've all probably been in the room before and we looked around and we realized, man, I'm not the best looking person in this room. In fact, there's some good looking people in this room. We've been there before, right? Every room I walk into, I'm like, oh, okay. I like to be by myself for a reason. Like, I know that I'm the best person in the room when I'm by myself, right? We have this feeling. Listen, I remember walking into a church one time, and I felt this way. Like, think of all the places you go to, and this is the way you feel at this church. Now, this church was amazing, don't get me wrong. But before we launched, we went to all these different churches, and we visited this church, and we walk into it, and, like, all these people look like Abercrombie models. Like, I'm thinking, this is not good. Like, this was a great church. They're doing amazing things for the kingdom. And it wasn't their fault that everybody looked good. It was my fault, right? It brought the insecurities out of me. Like, clearly, they worked out more than me. Clearly, they had better genetics than me. Like, I'm looking around, like, these people were good looking. Like, they were wearing, like, tight shirts on purpose. They were, like, it wasn't because they got into their kids' candy too much, right? The Halloween kill leftover candy. That wasn't the reason their shirts were tight. Like, their pants were even tight on purpose. And it looked normal. It wasn't really weird. Like, it looked good. Like, these people were good looking. Like, even the pictures on the website, they had all these high definition photos of these people. And you're thinking, like, man, where are the blemishes? Like, what's going on here? Like, they were like some attractive people. And it was just crazy. And I had that feeling, man, I'm not attractive enough. I think there's times we feel that way, right? And this is really could be a struggle for many of us, right? And for me, I mean, this is kind of one of those weird topics that, like, I'm talking to myself. Like, this is one of those things that, I'll be honest, I struggle with. Listen, there's been times before I left the house, like, I've changed 4 or 5 times. Anybody else done that before? Like, no, I don't like the way this looks. No, this isn't. No. Yeah, I've done that before. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, if you see me on a day, not a Sunday, you're going to see the regular routine. I wear a black t-shirt and just a pair of pants because it's easy, and I know what it looks like, and I don't have to have that feeling of I'm not attractive enough. Like, that's why I did it, right? This is a real struggle. But think about it. What does it really mean to be attractive? If you think about this for a moment, what does it really mean to be attractive? Is it just the outside appearance? Is it just this surface level attribute that we have about ourselves? Or does it go a little bit deeper? When we ask those questions, yeah, we realize, man, it's a little deeper, right? We've probably been misled by something or someone that we thought was attractive on the outside, and then we found out that it wasn't so much so on the inside, right? I mean, think about it. Have you ever been fooled by something before that looked attractive on the outside, but then once you got it, it wasn't cracked up to everything it was talking it was going to be, right? So let's get a little interactive here. I just want to see by show of hands, how many of you have ever bought something from one of those infomercials? You know, the type like, but wait, if you order now, we'll throw a second one in for free, right? How can you resist that? All right. Nancy, I'm going to pick on you. What did you get? The second. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is where it gets scary when you open it up to the count. Well, let's go back to the infomercial for a second. So that derailed. See, I did not get what I paid for in asking that question right there. But again, you buy the infomercial thing, right? And then sometimes you're looking at it and you're like, wow, like you get it. And I've bought them before. And where do they end up? They end up in the closet because you're not going to use it. It doesn't do everything that it promised to do. Or it broke within like the first week you got it, so it ends up in the trash. There's a reason they're giving you two of them, right? Because they know the first one's going to break. Like, I've been lured into that before, right? I know I was talking to a friend of mine, too, and he was talking about how he had once like kind of gone to on vacation. I think we've been kind of tricked into things when we go on vacation where we see something and you're like, dude, I have to have this souvenir. I have to have this. Like, it's the official one. And you're paying like three times more than what you should be paying for this thing, right? I was talking to my friend. He's like, went to Walt Disney World and he got the official Star Wars lightsaber, right? Like, that's my lightsaber noise. He got this official one. It was in the box. And then he brought it home and he like puts it together and like, let me just say, it wasn't official. In fact, the dollar store one he had, he said, shined brighter and looked even more real. And yet he paid like quadruple the times money for it, right? It was so much, it was crazy, right? There's things we do that. Like, there's a reason I'm actually wearing these shoes today. Like, you guys are thinking, like, dude, why is he wearing those white Nike shoes? Like, that doesn't fit, right? But listen, I bought these shoes. I'm going to pull these out so the video camera can see them. Some of you guys like these. These are my Jordans. Those, no, that's the Jordan sign right there. So these are my Jordans, right? So I bought these bad boys like 5 years ago. And they thought they looked sweet. I was like, so excited for them. I got them. I bring them home. And then Sarah looks at them and says, what are those? Like, she's like, you can't wear those. Those look ridiculous. Like, so I've had them for 5 years. I've worn them 10 times. But today, I'm rocking them, right? I brought them home. I thought they were going to be amazing. I thought they looked sweet in the box. But they didn't really, there wasn't everything they cracked up to be, right? I thought it was going to make me look really good, right? I'm thinking, this is going to be attractive. I'm going to be an attractive. But no, they ended up falling short. And the truth is, I think we've all experienced that at one point in time, right? Really, what we think we want is not always what we really want. What we think we want is not always what we really want. Too many times we think we want attraction, but what we really want is beauty. We think we want this outside appearance, but what we're really striving for is substance. We think we want to fit into the culture around us, but what we really need to be is pleasing to God. We think we want this perfect image, but what we really need, what we're striving for, is this healthy reality. And too many times what we're doing is we're looking just towards those outward appearances. In our culture, we look for the most attractive person, right? We look for the highest paying job. We look for the biggest house, the nicest cars, right? Nothing, again, nothing is wrong with these things. But we have to ask, is this what we really want? Is this what we really need? Again, that big house, that new car, it comes with a payment. That super attractive tan that you're searching after, right? From the tanning bed. It comes with a skin disease later, right? It does. That night out just to, with the girls or the guys just to chill out and completely relax. Just we go out and have some drinks with somebody, right? That could come with an issue and a drinking problem later. That simple text just to that one person who's outside of our marriage thinking like, oh, I'll make them feel good about myself, right? No, that could come with problems later. What we think we want isn't always what we really want. And we see this in a life of a guy named Jacob. So today we're going to spend some time looking at him in Genesis chapter 29. Verses 14 through 30. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. There's reading plans and devotionals. In fact, every Monday on our social media pages, we throw out that reading plan that you can read with us. So we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app so that you're reading your Bible every single day. So Genesis 29, in this passage of Scripture, we see Jacob. And Jacob was a guy that God blessed. Jacob was a guy that God used like tremendously, but Jacob was also a guy that was kind of messed up. In fact, his blessing that he received from his father, he actually stole from his brother Esau. In fact, this is where we're picking up today. The reason why we see Jacob in the land where he's at is he's actually on the run from his brother. He's on the run from the anger of his brother Esau. So he's on the run and he's wandering and he found his mother's brother Laban who took him in. This is where we'll pick it up here in verse 14. It says this. It says, after Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak or delicate eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. So right here, this is like Bible locker room talk, just so you know, right? Leah wasn't necessarily the most attractive on the outside. Basically saying that she has weak or delicate eyes was the nice way of saying that like she got hit by the ugly stick, right? This is what, basically what it's saying. But now Rachel was the looker. Rachel was attractive on the outside. She had a lovely figure, and she was beautiful, right? So this is what Jacob's dealing with. So it says this. It says, Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Jacob was caught up with that outside appearance. He was attracted to her outside beauty. Verse 19 continues and says, Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. So for him, 7 years felt like nothing because of his attraction, because of his love for that outside beauty. Verse 21 then continues and says, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this that you've done to me, right? I've served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me, right? Like, this is like a big trick, right? Here's a big oops, and like, here's Jacob wakes up, and he was completely ticked. Rachel was the one he wanted, or at least she's the one he thought he wanted. Continues on here in verse 26, it says, Laban said, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. So he had to wait a week, and then he had to work another 7 years. Those things that we think we want, oftentimes they come with a bigger price than what we're willing to pay or what we initially wanted to pay. Continues on, says in verse 28, it says, and Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. And Jacob made love to Rachel also. And his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Now again, Jacob's love, it was greater, but it was really based on that outward appearance. His love was really based on her looks. Because if you look through the story of Jacob and Rachel, there's a lot of times where Rachel lacked character, right? There's a lot of times where Rachel, she brought a little bit of baggage with her. If you look at the life of Rachel, really, drama followed her everywhere she went. Everywhere she went, something was going along with her. Something was happening, right? She looked good on the outside, but there were some things missing, right? She was plagued with jealousy. There was times where Leah would have a baby, and then Rachel was so angry and so plagued with jealousy, she even, in fact, had her own maidservant sleep with Jacob these times, right? This is some drama. This is some stress that was coming on there, right? Even when Jacob left Rachel and Leah's father, Rachel is the one who actually stole from her father and then lied to him, right? Put him in incredible danger. She came with some baggage. In fact, if you go through the end of the story, though, as you see this, and Jacob actually chose to be buried next to Leah instead of Rachel. His life ends next to Leah. This is in Genesis 49:31. You can kind of cross-reference that if you want. But if you look at that love, it moved beyond just attraction for Leah, and he was buried with her. Because what he thought he wanted wasn't necessarily what he really wanted in life. I think many times it's the same for us as well. What we think we want is not always what we really want. But we chase after it anyways. Right? We chase after that image. We chase after that trying to be attractive just on the outside. We focus on image over substance. And when we do that, poor decisions and drama will follow. When we focus on image and substance, drama will always follow. This is true for Jacob and Rachel. Drama, again, followed her everywhere she went. He was tricked, right? In fact, he had to work double, again, of what he expected. The cost was so much more than anticipated. And the same is true for our lives as well. In fact, I was sharing some of this message with my wife, Sarah, this week, and she was telling me some stories. She's like, yeah, I understand that. Like, before I met you, Corbin, like, I chased after these guys with more of an image. So I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if she settled for the nerdy, ugly guy. That's cool, right? But she was telling me, she's like chasing after these different guys that like had the cool image, had the good looking image, had the popular, whatever it was, right? But drama always followed. In fact, she said that I think like 90% of those guys cheated on her at one point in time, right? So I'm thinking like, dude, that's crazy, right? It's crazy. But oftentimes when we chase after what we think we want, drama follows. The results aren't necessarily what we intended to be. And too many times I think we look only at the surface level in others. We look only even at the surface level in ourselves as well. What we think we want for ourselves and what we see in others is just that outside attractiveness. But those things, that image and that surface level attractiveness, they're always fleeting, right? They're short-lived. And too many times I think we get caught up in becoming the best looking. Too many times we get caught up in becoming the strongest, the cutest, the trendiest, the skinniest, the whatever it is, right? We get caught up in these. What it really leads to is it leads to insecurities in our life. These thought process of only looking on the outside attractiveness really make us insecure. And it gives us some self-esteem issues. And that insecurity, that lack of self-esteem, can really lead to this rabbit hole of sin. See, when we're only seeking outside image, it can really lead to our immorality. Because what we're doing is we're looking to the wrong things to make us feel secure. We're looking to the wrong things to make us feel more attractive, right? It can lead to that. It can lead to immorality. It can lead to even addiction, right? An addiction to alcohol, because when it really changes the way we see ourselves, or it changes the way we see others, right? Maybe an addiction to pills, where we're trying to lose so much weight, or the pills make us feel better about ourselves. It can lead to that. And it can lead to that insecurity, right? This way of thinking can just be a downward spiral. It can lead to self-hatred. It can lead to depression. It can lead to jealousy. It can lead to hate. And what it is, when we're only looking on the outside, we're only looking to the outside attractiveness. What it is, it's really selfishness at its finest. And it brings out a lack of love. And then the next thing you know, we're not only not the greatest looking on the outside, but we're also ugly on the inside as well. This is that process. This is that trap that can lead us. And it's a trap of sin. And here's the thing about sin. Sin will always take you farther than you've ever wanted to go. It's a trap. And this feeling of attractive, of being not being attractive enough, is a part of that trap. We all look to that outside attractiveness, but when we do, and when we're completely focused on that, we're set up for failure. What we think we want is not always what we really want. So how do we know what we really want, right? How do we overcome this feeling of not being attractive enough? Truth is, it starts with us. It starts with our focus. It starts by shifting our focus from the outside appearance to the inside character, right? The change begins with you and me. We attract really even who we are and what we are, right? So if we're viewing others only based on looks and only based on outside appearances, chances are that's what they're doing to us. But if we look deeper, people will look deeper at us. And who we're becoming will trump our public image. So here's how we do that. Number one is this. We begin with the end in mind. To overcome that feeling of not being attractive enough, we have to begin with the end in mind. If we focus on the ending, what we'll do is we're connecting ourselves to character and substance. If we're focused on the ending, the things that matter really come to light. Again, if you go back and look at Jacob, his end game was actually his family. If you go back to him, Jacob was actually known as Israel. And he was known as for this nation and this nation, these groups of people that came from him. In fact, his sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. What's crazy, though, is that the majority of those sons came from Leah. Six of those sons came from Leah. Four of them came from maidservants, and then two of them actually came from Rachel, the one he thought he wanted, the one that he was so attracted to the outside, right? Leah was a huge part of his legacy. Leah was a huge part of his endgame. And to be honest, he could have saved himself some stress if he would have just focused in on that. He could have saved himself some worries. He could have saved himself some dramas of his life if he was focusing with the end in mind. So think about your life. How can you begin with the end in mind? What's your end game, right? What do you want to be known for when you reach your destination? I want to challenge you to think through this week. Not just think through this, but maybe even journal through this. Listen, now, if you don't journal, this is my challenge for you, is to do it at one time this week, and this is what you're going to do. In your journal, I just want you to write five things that you want people to remember about you, five things that you want people to remember about your legacy, of what you want to stamp on your name, right? Maybe you want to be known for being generous. Listen, write it down, and then begin to act upon it. Right? Maybe you want to be known for being trustworthy. Write it down and then begin to act upon it. Write it down, right? Maybe you want to be known for being kind. Maybe you want to be known for being caring. Write it down and make it happen. Maybe you want to be known for being a child of God. Write it down and then live it out. This week, my challenge for you to put this into place, to begin to overcome that feeling of not being attractive enough, is to write five things down of what you want to be remembered for. Begin with the end in mind. And then share those with a friend. Share those with your spouse, right? But live it out. Begin with the end in mind. Listen, we don't go on vacation or we don't take a trip and just start driving. We have a destination. We have an end result. And listen, the journey may be long. There may be times we want to pull over the car and just some of the passengers in the car, right? There may be times we want to drive some people next to us off the road like we're so angry about. The journey could be gruesome and brutal sometimes, but the end result, the destination is worth it. Begin with the end in mind. And if we call ourselves a Christian, our end game is an eternity with God. Our end game is eternity with our Maker and our Creator. But it all begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, which, again, can start now by accepting Him as our, and making Him the center of our life. To know what we truly want and how to overcome this feeling of not being attractive enough, we have to begin with the end in mind. And then number two is we have to seek God. Again, focusing just on this outside of attractiveness, focusing on that is really focusing on things outside of who God is. And it leads to this lack of confidence. It leads to this lack of self-esteem. Really, it leads to this life of worry because we're seeking the wrong thing. But when we seek God, everything changes, right? Seeking God changes all this up. In fact, Jesus told about this in Matthew chapter 6. If you don't, I would challenge you to read Matthew chapter 6 throughout this week as well, but it's just an incredible portion of Scripture showing how we can be confident in God and how we don't need to worry. It's a great, really, encouragement to help overcome the feeling of not enough. And it all stems from seeking God. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 33. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The truth is, God is true beauty. God is true attractiveness. And His kingdom, again, should be our end game. His kingdom, though, is what we need to seek. He's what we need to seek. His righteousness and His true beauty, His true attractiveness, and it's what we need to seek. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we seek Him, we will experience that true beauty. When we seek Him, we will overcome that feeling of not being attractive enough. Proverbs 8:17 says this. It says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." That's His promise for us. If we seek Him, we'll find Him. So how do we seek Him in everything we do? To start off, in everything we do, we need to ask ourselves, is this glorifying to God? Is this glorifying to God? To seek Him means that we're glorifying. To seek Him means that we're pleasing to Him. So we need to ask ourselves, are we glorifying Him? Are we pleasing Him? Or what we're doing, is it just glorifying ourselves? What we're doing, is it just pleasing to us? Or are we putting this mask on the outside so that people think that we're better than what we really are? Or are we getting real? Are we breaking it down? And are we allowing God to work in and through us so that we can glorify Him and our lives will be pleasing to Him? This week I want to challenge you to glorify God by sharing, maybe sharing something that He's done in your life with others. Listen, we started off this prayer by clapping if you were thankful for something. Maybe take that to the next level this week. Instead of just clapping here on a Sunday morning, maybe share with somebody this week of what God's doing. That way you can be pleasing to Him. That way you're glorifying Him in everything you can do, right? It'll be encouraging to others, right? People will see that, and you know what? They're going to see that, and that's a very attractive quality. They're going to be drawn to that. With a friend or family, share what God has done in your life. Give Him the glory and seek Him. And then number three is this. It's the focus on needs and not wants. Again, this goes along with seeking Him because He is truly who we need. But too many times, I think we focus just on our wants. And our wants can always lead us away. Our wants can lead us into trouble. Solomon says it this way in Proverbs 13:21. It says, "Trouble pursues the sinner. Trouble pursues the one who's just chasing after their wants. But the righteous are rewarded with good things." What are you focused on today? Is it wants or needs? Will it lead to trouble or will it lead to good things? What we think we want is not always what we need. Again, we just ended a financial series where we talked about what it truly means to be rich in Him. And to be rich in Him means that we're focusing on Him, we're focusing on needs, the things that He can provide. So let's ask ourselves, do we want or need that high-paying job that takes us away from family, that takes us away from church family, right? Do we want or need that new fancy car that comes with a payment? Do we want or need that new outfit that'll make us look good on the outside, but really it's only temporary enjoyment? Do we want or need that drink that may make us feel good in just the moment, but we'll regret later? Do we want or need all these things, right? Are we chasing after God in our lives? Are we chasing after God, what God has in store for us? Listen, God has bigger plans for us than we could ever imagine, but we have to trust Him. We have to seek after the needs that He has for us, and we have to trust His timing, and we have to trust His plans, because He will provide our needs. So we have to focus on needs, not wants. I think many times what we think we want is not what we really want. Think about living that life of what you really wanted. Imagine being able to understand that and being able to overcome that feeling of not being attractive enough. The truth is, the most attractive people in our lives, the most attractive people that we've come across, aren't just attractive on the outside. In fact, the most attractive moments that we've had in our lives are not necessarily the ones where we felt the best on the outside. But it's when we invest in others. It's when we're beginning with the end in mind. It's where we're truly seeking God. And it's where we're focused on needs and not wants. I was going to throw up a picture, one of my favorite pictures of Sarah and Berkeley. If you look at this picture, neither one of Berkeley or Sarah are even looking at the camera, right? In fact, Berkeley, this is in the middle of the night. We didn't get her ready at all. And then Sarah and pregnancies, we'll just say they don't go well together. Like, and Sarah, again, giving birth don't go well either. Like, this is like right after here, she's super drugged up. She probably actually has puke on her left over from the actual birthing experience. Like, I'm talking like it wasn't good, right? But this is the most incredible picture, right? This is the most amazing picture of beauty because of their focus. They're focused on the end game. They're focused on Griffin. They're focused in on others. What if you live a life that brings the best out in others? What if you lived a life that really displayed God in everything we do? That's what true beauty is. That's true attractiveness. And that's the life I want to challenge you to live today. And it starts with Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.